Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast entitled Obesity, a Disease. My relevance to this podcast is the fact that I'm the Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association. I'm also Editor-in-Chief of the Obesity Pillars, which is the official journal of the Obesity Medicine Association. And what we do in this series of podcasts is we review recent articles in our journal, in the Obesity Pillars. And then if we're lucky, we don't just get people who have an opinion about these articles. We try to find the authors. We try to find the people that can provide us firsthand insights as to what went on behind the scenes in these publications. And we're just so fortunate to have, the lead author of this article. This article is entitled Optimizing Nutrition, Diet, Lifestyle Communication, and GLP-1 Medication Therapy for Weight Management, a Qualitative Research Study with Registered Dietitians. Let me just emphasize that last part. A qualitative research study with registered dietitians. Okay, so buckle up, folks. We got the expert here. David, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Well, Dr. Bays, thank you for having me on this podcast. My name is David Despain. I'm a professional nutritionist and R&D working for Nestle Health Science. And as part of my work, I was actually undergoing a second master's degree, earned a second master's degree at Stony Brook University in science communication. I'm quite interested in research into science communication and health communication, and that led me to visit this subject, which was around nutrition communication, particularly with GLP-1 patients. And what I was truly interested in is understanding healthcare professionals and how they were providing education around nutrition and diet and lifestyle with in combination with these new medications that are quite life-saving, these life-saving medicines, the GLP-1 medications.
Now, but what I was trying to emphasize earlier, and hopefully everybody caught what I was trying to say there, is that this was a qualitative research study with registered dietitian, right? That I think that's I think that's key, because I don't know that so I'm a physician. I don't know that all clinicians, all non-dietitian clinicians, have an understanding of not just the background, but the leanings, the manner in which dietitians, perceive things like what should be the priority in patients on GLP-1 receptor agonist, right? What are those priorities? I mean, I know what my priorities are, but what do the dietitians think about that? And that's what I thought. I think this is just so fascinating, because it just gives an entirely different perspective, at least different than mine. So just at the beginning, let's be sure that we're all kind of level set. Please elaborate on a qualitative research design. What does that even mean? And why did you choose this for this study with the dietitians?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, we chose a qualitative research design that allowed us to perform employ semi-structured interviews with registered dietitians. And as part of that design, we included dietitians with at least 1 year or more experience with patients using GLP-1 medications, and that allowed us to have in-depth discussions for them, give them the flexibility, and to introduce some new ideas and have them share their own personal experience. From that, we performed a qualitative content analysis, so that essentially was transcribing the interviews and then looking for themes within the data to just provide a comprehensive understanding of the perspectives of these dietitians. So again, we chose registered dietitians with at least 1 year or more experience managing patients on GLP-1 medications, and we just wanted to make sure that they had relevant expertise so they were actual dietitians within these studies.
All right. So you did a qualitative analysis. You're talking to the dietitians. You're trying to look for themes. Again, not physicians, okay? Not other clinicians. What we're talking about is specifically dietitians. What were these kind of general themes that you found out when you did this qualitative research? What is the perspective of the dietitian with regard to the use of GLP-1 receptor agonists?
Well, overall, maybe it's surprising, maybe it's not surprising, but they're what the dietitians told us, what the overall theme was, that there definitely was a deficiency in education around nutrition, diet, and lifestyle with GLP-1 medications. And like I said, that may or may not be surprising to some, but it was really highlighted by the dietitians. A lot, quite a few of them felt like they likened it to the times back when we had before dietitians were involved with bariatric surgery and providing advice, and felt like these patients were not getting sufficient advice, and that would lead to potential issues with adherence to the medication. Being able to stay on them or go deal with certain adverse events like diarrhea, constipation, the GI side effects, and also led to issues. One of the biggest issues that they discussed was the expectations that these patients have. So their expectations tend to be unrealistic, where they feel like they're miracle drugs when they're not. And diet and lifestyle are still need to be a big part of the picture. So they talked a little bit about how expectation management was important.
And above and beyond that, I mean, one of the things that I must say that a message that I'm getting from the dietitians with whom I interact is okay, we get it. The GLP-1 receptor agonist, people are going to have negative caloric balance. Okay, so some of these more
Right.
recent, highly effective anti-obesity medications going to reduce that caloric intake, and that's a fact. And even though you say, well, they're not miracle drugs, and some patients, sometimes people might perceive them as being miracle drugs, but here's the challenge. The challenge is, as we have developed these highly effective anti-obesity medications, what we're finding is, or my senses were gravitating, is maybe less of a focus on encouraging people to eat less, because a lot of these GLP-1 receptor agonists, a lot of them. A lot of that burden, a lot of that weight is being managed by these drugs, but what's getting left behind is are the macro and micronutrients. So just
Right.
simply because a person is eating less doesn't mean they are eating more healthful, right? It's not necessarily a more healthful diet just because they're eating less. And it seems to me that's where having a dietitian engaged is just critical. Because who else is going to inform patients about the importance of enhancing protein intake to mitigate that muscle loss? Who other than the dietitian is going to be more critical to again the micronutrient deficiencies that may occur when you do have substantial decrease in caloric intake? So when you did your qualitative survey and such, I mean, what was communicated to you, or what did the dietitians say as far as what they felt their roles were regarding macro and micronutrient counseling to patients being treated with GLP-1 receptor agonist.
Well, I heard a lot of different stories about the patients, and a theme that ran across was the nutritional challenges for sure. Several dietitians had told me that their number one issue was appetite suppression. For these folks who have struggled with obesity for a large part of their lives, it seemed like cognitive dissonance to them when their dietitian was telling them that yes, you have to eat, and you have to eat enough calories to maintain your muscle, to maintain so enough protein calories, enough even carbohydrate and fat calories, but in addition, the right kinds of foods to support your nutrient intake, because there were concerns of them not eating enough protein, but also not getting enough vitamins and minerals, B vitamins, calcium, vitamin D. We already know from prior research that some of these vitamins and minerals tend to be already at suboptimal status in these individuals.
I think that's exactly right. And speaking as a clinician, I got a physician. Speaking as a physician, I it's just it's. I mean, look, I can do it, but I must say, having a dietitian is a lot better. At a research site, we have two full-time dietitians, so that's very nice. For me, to be able to say, okay, here's somebody that can sit down with the patient. And can commit to a fairly substantial amount of time to ensure the appropriate macronutrient content and ensure the micronutrient content and such. And then what we find more and more, at least within the context of clinical trials and clinical practice as well, is this dehydration that takes place in people on GLP-1 receptor agonists. There's some evidence that, at least in animal studies, that rodent studies such, there may be a diminished thirst. And also, if you decrease food, how much the food you eat is water. So if you're diminishing food, you're decreasing water intake. And if you're having diminished thirst, and in addition to maybe any kind of nausea and vomiting you have, then it's no surprise that one of the more common side effects we see from these drugs, over to beyond the nausea and vomiting, gastrointestinal type things, is the dehydration as such. So let me just ask you this. What do you, I mean, I know water's not technically a nutrient and everything, but what do you think is the role of adequate nutrition with regard to dietitian counseling of patients who are on GLP-1 receptor agonists?
But I think that we have to really emphasize the fact that these are life-saving medications, but the role of the dietitian in supporting a comprehensive approach is critical to make sure that, like you said, hydration status is still quite important. Protein nutrition, and making sure that you get adequate amounts of vitamins and minerals. So those are all important, and it's difficult to do that when you have these strong medications that produce that appetite suppression, if you're not if you lack the knowledge of it. And what I saw in this research is that quite a lot of patients really struggle with knowing exactly what a good diet looks like, what balanced portions, balanced amount, balanced proteins, carbs and fats looks like. So there was a definite interest from the dietitians in supporting an optimized approach where we provided better education upfront and communication about diet, lifestyle. One of the metaphors that was used is that these medications should be seen as training wheels to help you to, learn how to ride the bike when you eventually come off of the medication, so that you don't gain that weight back. So it's really important to support this kind of training about nutrition before and then throughout the process, so that you have lasting behavior change afterwards?
Well, that would be, that would be the optimum. It would be optimum if folks who go on GLP-1 receptor agonists, they get to their, their healthy body weight, and they're comfortable there, and their clinicians are comfortable there, dietitians are comfortable that they're there, and clinical trials have, or yeah, clinical trials have supported that. Maybe as much as 5 to 10% of folks who get really good education stuff are able to stop the medication and maintain weight reduction over a prolonged period of time. But I think 90+% are not able to do that, and so for them, a GLP-1 receptor agonist therapy is not just a band-aid or whatever. I mean, it's a it could be a life, lifelong treatment. And I think that just goes again to support that a lifelong deficiency of micronutrients is not a good thing. We know that from the bariatric surgery literature and such. So I guess what I'm trying to say is communicating the importance of healthful nutrition from a macronutrient standpoint, from a micronutrient standpoint, is something that patients are going to need who are being treated with GLP-1 receptor agonist on a lifetime basis. For many of them, it needs to be on a lifetime basis. So I guess my last question to you is, you've already said, again, the name of the article, Optimizing Nutrition, Diet, Lifestyle Communication, and GLP-1 Medication Therapy for Weight Management, a qualitative research study with registered dietitians. The focus here is communications. What were you told by the dietitians are effective strategies to communicate that importance? Communicate the importance of micro and macronutrient, healthful micronutrient and macronutrient intervention. What are some of the more effective ways that dietitians can help communicate that importance to the patients that are being treated with these GLP-1 receptor agonists?
Fantastic question. I think one of the parts of the study that I really wanted to focus on was coming up with these strategies to enhance communication. And a big part of it is going to be that comprehensive approach, encouraging use of the dietitian. I heard over and over that quite a few patients get on these medications without any recommendation to see a dietitian. I noticed a poster at Obesity Week recently that less than 10% of these patients in real-world settings are actually exploring use of a dietitian, which is unfortunate, right? Dietitians should be part of that program. And then as far as the communication is concerned, dietitians themselves feel like they don't have the resources or the materials to provide adequate communication about the medications along with nutrition. So that's a need. And so th there was a lot of discussion about what that should look like. There was emphasis on the use of MyPlate, the MyPlate visual, of course, that we're all familiar with, and even improving on the MyPlate visual for those on these medications specifically. Use of visuals to demonstrate what portion controls look like, what a healthy meal looks like. Use of metaphors, like I mentioned, the training wheel metaphor. There was another metaphor that was employed that described how to discuss medications like Ozempic and Wegovy, discussing them as like a tall or grande coffee. You know, those to sorts of metaphors that I outlined in my paper, and then other things like structured programs, structured lifestyle programs, where you incorporate a structured program where you gently increase the amount of exercise that one starts to engage in over a few weeks, and then combining that with a comprehensive behavior change workshops, discussing how to change behavior. So really emphasizing a holistic approach, a comprehensive approach that thinks about the patient holistically, rather than simply providing them the medications with no guidance.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, the only thing I would add is, I mean, if you're, I think a lot of people think of these visual aids that we've used in the past as a way to encourage patients to reduce their caloric intake. But I think you would agree, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about specific nutritional intervention in patients treated with GLP-1 receptor agonists. So if you're going to use the plate, you know, the plate metaphor, what's on the plate, it's not so much focused on reducing the amount of calories that people take in. It's mainly should be focused on how it is do you maintain the quality, okay, the quality of and the healthfulness of the dietary intake. So it's more and it's less of a quantitative emphasis, more of a qualitative interest is ensuring that patients get the macro and micronutrients that they need that provide them, you know, the best chance of a healthy outcome. I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah. I think for some of these patients, it's difficult them to understand, right, that they need higher protein foods, higher fiber foods. So
Yeah.
a lot of them have constipation and they don't realize that they're not getting enough fiber. And so simple tips like making sure that you include a vegetable with each eating occasion. We know that these folks aren't necessarily eating meals, right? Like they're not eating full meals. And so one of the tips that was repeated was making sure you have protein and fiber with each eating occasion. That could be as simple as making sure that you have making sure you have a vegetable along with a protein portion every time that you eat. Those little simple things that can really add up and help a patient to get their nutrients that they need and not have to deal with some of the potential adverse effects.
Well, you know, Dave, thank you so much. Thank you for this study, and thank you for being on this podcast. I mean, I think I don't know that enough people really understand that we're moving beyond the days where the only role of the dietitian was to say, you know, let's reduce your caloric intake and figure out how it is that we can best do that to fit your lifestyle. That's important for a lot of patients. Not being dismissive of that. But what it can't be, the situation cannot be, is now we put a patient on GLP-1 receptor agonist, and so therefore there's going to be a reduced caloric intake, so therefore we don't need dietitians anymore. I would argue, and again, supported by the data that you have here, is that there's maybe even more of a need to have dietitians involved when you're recommending or prescribing GLP-1 receptor agonist, because now there is the whole issue of but not just managing caloric intake, although again, that's important, but also looking at the healthfulness of the dietary intake, looking at the macronutrients, the micronutrients, the fiber that you mentioned, all of those types of things. And I just think that best comes, you know, from a dietitian. So David, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think this information is going to be very helpful to a lot of clinicians out there, you know, really emphasizing the benefits that can be achieved with professional nutritional intervention through a dietitian in patients treated with GLP-1 receptor agonist. I think that's a very, you know, very pragmatic, very practical matter that we see all the time. And I think folks are going to be, I think this podcast is going to help a lot of folks. So thank you again. And thank you, the listener. You've been listening to the Obesity Medicine Association, Obesity, the Disease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.